The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Children in Ireland are exposed to huge levels of unhealthy food marketing, which is increasingly driven by influencers. This is according to new research, which is out today, compiled for the Irish Heart Foundation. I'm joined in the studio by Irish Heart Foundation Director of Advocacy, Chris Macy, and Professor Mimi Tatlow-Golden from the Open University and lead researcher of the Click Bite study. And you're both welcome to the programme. Mimi, I'd love to talk to you first about how you went about this, because this gave you a unique insight into what our children are seeing online. How did you do it?
So indeed, and I think everybody knows that what we get on our phones varies wildly from one person to another. It depends entirely on what you're interested in, what you're clicking on. And so knowing what kids were actually being served on their individual phones was a problem that we hadn't solved yet. And so what we did for the first time in Europe was to record children's actual use of their phones while they were scrolling. So we recorded half an hour's use on social media for each participating child or young person. And with that, we were then able to analyse literally second by second what kind of content was being served to them, and also crucially to understand what are they engaging with, how long are they looking at these ads or this marketing or influencer content, what are they clicking on, what are they sharing with their friends, and how are they responding to it.
Mm-hmm. So we know that it's hard for advertisers to get us to stay looking or to engage with their ads for a long period of time. Anything beyond 3 seconds, I think, is a bonus. But with influencers, it's different, isn't it?
Oh, this was the crazy thing that we were really quite taken aback to see. And as you say, 3 seconds is kind of the cutoff point that advertisers also confirmed with us. And indeed, it was the average for paid ads that we found in the young people's content. But when we were looking at the influencer content, they were staying on those posts and videos for up to 15 seconds as an average.
Mm-hmm. And
so
that's enough, isn't it?
Five times as long. And that's just a super deep engagement by the standards of social media time. They just weren't scrolling on by. Yeah.
It's extraordinary that 15 seconds is a really deep engagement, isn't it?
It tells us something about our attention spans, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. So in terms then of what they were looking at, what are they engaging with when it comes to what we're talking about today?
So the unhealthy food marketing was the sort of brands that you would be generally familiar with, plus ones, this was really intriguing, that we didn't know were about to start launching in the Irish market. So this was like pre-stuff. So the ones that we would be familiar with, so top of the list was Oreo in the content that we were looking at, as well as McDonald's, which tends to appear in everywhere around the world as a really top of the line. And then there was a whole kind of second order rank of people like Wingstop, Raising Cane's, and sort of chicken shop type American brands. And we had a lot of discussion about what are these ads doing in Irish content, until in fact it was colleagues at the Irish Heart Foundation who pointed out to us months later that these brands were starting to launch in Ireland. So it's like there was sort of pre-advertising to soften the ground.
Okay,
and the young people were engaging with that.
So Chris, from your point of view and the Irish Heart Foundation's point of view, what are you concerned about in this research? What is it telling you?
Well, I suppose what it's showing is saturation levels of junk food marketing to children. You know, kids are seeing a minimum of 15 ads every hour for junk food every hour they're online. And to put that into perspective, seeing a single ad results in consumption that will add an average of 30 to 50 calories to a child's diet. It only takes 48 to 71 calories, depending on age, each day to lead to weight gain over time. Mm. So kids who are just online for 2 hours a day are seeing 30 ads an hour. So, you know, the impact this is having, it's distorting children's view of what a normal diet is.
I'm going to naively ask you now whether advertising works. I mean, are you saying that if you engage with an ad that you're going to eat more food?
On average, yes, you certainly are. And, you know, yes, marketing works. That's why
that's
much
why
money is spent.
And
when you look at, you know, what children are up against, they're up against the best marketing brains in the world. The best marketing brains in the world work for big food corporations. They don't work, you know, for anyone else. You know, we've seen a lot over the last few years about how small marketing organizations have distorted election results through micro-targeting. Kids are being micro-targeted every day by the best marketing brains in the world. It is a completely unequal situation, and the government has to step in. The state must step in and regulate to protect children.
So regulate online marketing is what you're saying?
We're saying we need legislation banning all unhealthy food marketing on all digital media, including marketing by influencers and content creators, paid advertising and brand advertising. So in the UK, in January, they brought a blanket ban online on all paid for advertising, which is great. But there's so many loopholes that industry
Explain
can exploit.
Explain to me now what they did in the UK. They banned marketing of junk food, was it?
Of unhealthy food and non-alcoholic beverages, yeah. But the paid for advertising that, as Mimi says, that kids are looking at for an average of 3 seconds. But, you know, the global juggernaut is the influencer marketing, you know, that has really taken hold. And we need to get ahead of this, because it's actually just becoming more effective all the time, this junk food marketing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether that ban in the UK, Mimi, works, because as we're seeing in Australia now, the ban on social media use for under 16s is not working, because they're finding all sorts of ways around it, children, and they're still online. So do you agree that regulation is the way forward, or is a ban, or what are your thoughts on it, given what you saw in the research?
I absolutely am of the view, as a researcher of childhood more generally as well, that it's essential that we allow children to continue to participate in the world. So taking them off devices and off social media is actually kind of removing citizenship skills from them, and what it doesn't help them to become part of the world that we're in. What we need to do is create a world that's healthier to live in. So at the moment, we know that they're being influenced by this content. We know that they're very drawn to it. We spoke to 175 of them across the island of Ireland, and they were telling us about, they perfectly well understand, this is not an education gap we're talking about here. They get it. They know that these people are selling them stuff. But they like these people because they're creating content that they call relatable. And because it's relatable, they're up for it. And they'll say, yeah, absolutely, I'll buy that thing, I'll get some Oreos because I like that person. So what they're doing is hacking the relationship and their developmental stage.
The key to this is the influencer content, that sponsored content,
because I believe so.
The children who are watching are going, I like that person, and so I'm going to buy the sugary treat that they're telling me they enjoy.
That's exactly it. The influencers are kind of getting in there into children's developmental needs for identity, for relationship, and for sort of understanding the world more widely. And they're exploiting that by presenting themselves as friends, which young people, but adults as well, it has to be said, do pick up on and respond to. We're human, and we're susceptible to these kinds of online relationships. And so when they then insert something that we know, like decades of research from the World Health Organization and everybody out there, tells us experimentally that this content changes what people view as normal and what they want to eat.
I know you're not saying, Chris, that you know, our problems with obesity are all directly related to what's happening online. But we do have 8-year-olds who have blood pressure issues in this country, don't we?
Yeah, the state's own research says that 85,000 of today's children will die prematurely due to overweight and obesity. And we've statistics showing that, you know, large numbers of 8-year-olds are presenting with high blood pressure, teenagers with cardiovascular age in their 60s. But, you know, it's not just junk food marketing, but we can't tackle the problem while junk food marketing is there, because it will always manipulate children's food choices and make overconsumption inevitable. And Mimi's research that was commissioned by Safe Food, you know, really brings that home, the full extent of it. And, you know, the government has relied on voluntary codes that this shows have failed, and they now have to. They have to regulate in this area and regulate decisively.
And you're meeting TDs and senators, aren't you, to present this research?
Yeah, Absolutely. We have a heart and stroke Oireachtas group that there's about 80 TDs and senators are members of, and we're meeting that group today, and we're going to ask them for a cross-party approach to dealing with this issue.
Okay, well, listen, thank you both for coming in. Ahead of that, to speak to us, Mimi and Chris Macy from the Irish Heart Foundation and Professor Mimi Tatlow-Golden.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.